Okay, welcome everybody. Welcome back to Qohelet. My hope for today, and that's the plan that we're working under, is that we're going to finish the last speech today, which is chapter 11 and 12, and that will bring us to more or less the end of our debate back and forth in the book of Qohelet. That will lead us to next week's course class. Next week's class is going to be a summary. So next week we're going to take a giant leap back and try to look at the entire forest and see what we accomplished in this navigating of these various positions back and forth through the book of Qohelet. And that is scheduled to be our last class in this series on Qohelet. So we are this week and next week, and that should bring Qohelet to a
Is this
close.
bothering you? Is my phone bothering you?
No, actually not.
Okay, dear. Thank you. I'm listening to a class.
Sorry about that. I'm just going to put a temporary mute on on the microphone to avoid background noise. If you want to join us in the conversation, please just unmute. But we are jumping in. So the very end of last week's session, or actually last week's session was devoted to one pasuk, but at the end of the discussion of the Chacham, we saw, and I'm going to jump to the text here, at the after the Chacham's position in which he complained bitterly about the fact that he was supposed to be the only one who's capable of being in charge of the world and running the world, and talked about the authority of and the power of the Chacham in the world today that's upside down. We saw the Yirei Elokim, who offers a one sentence rebuke of the Chacham, Gam b'mad da'acha melech al tekalel, don't curse the king in your, and here I challenge this translation, not by your thoughts, but by your, in your most intimate moments, like it says in Shir HaShirim, Emor le'bina achoti at ulemoda binatikra. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, you are my betrothed, my beloved, right? There is that element in Shir HaShirim of the relationship between a woman and relations with a woman and the acquiring of wisdom. That's essentially what it's referring to here. And you see it by the parallel to Chadre Mishkavcha in your bedchamber. And he says to the Chacham, even in your most intimate moments, you are not the most powerful. There's always somebody more powerful than you. And even the birds can take your voice, take your words. And so there is a kind of a rebuke of the arrogance of the Chacham, who has gone from a world in which he believes he has to kind of accept the world as it is, to a world in which he is critique everybody, including God, for having made the world in such a way that he's not the one who is in charge. And that's sort of the one sentence rebuke of the Chacham. And from that point, the Yirei Elokim from Pasuk Aleph, from Perikid Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, to really the end of the book, is the final speech of the Yirei Elokim. And if you're keeping tabs and tally as I am, then you'll see that this is the third speech of the Yirei Elokim. He is the only one of our three, or four, I should say. He is the only one who has three speeches. The Nehenatan essentially speaks twice. The Amal speaks twice. The Chacham more or less speaks twice. The Yirei Elokim speaks three times. And I apologize, that color is off. Okay, I will fix it. But that's just notice that now. So, okay, that's my own technical OCD when it comes to technology. I'll deal with that. Okay, let's jump in. So we're now starting chapter 11. I'm going to read through the perek, and then we'll kind of, as we've done before, and then we'll kind of analyze it. And my goal is to get through two parts of this today, both chapter 11 and chapter 12, a part of one conversation. Shlach lach mecha pne'amayim, ki berov hayamim timtza'enu. Cast your bread upon the waters, for in the multitude of days it will come back to you. You will find it. Ki berov hayamim timtza'enu. Ten chelek l'shiva v'gam l'shmona. Set aside a portion for seven or for eight. Seven or eight, what? Unclear. Probably not really significant. It just means set aside a portion for the future. set aside for a rainy day. You never know what evil is going to come upon the earth. You never know when you're going to need your bread, your portion, your finances, and therefore put aside a portion for 7 and for 8 in some time in the future. If the clouds fill with rain, they'll empty it out upon the earth. And if a tree falls in the south or in the north, where the tree falls, there it will be. The wind will carry the seeds and the trees from place to place, and that's how the world gets populated with trees. But if you observe, watch the wind, you will never... Sorry, I'm just going to have some background noise. I'm just going to mute. Shomer ruach lo yizra. If you observe, if you watch, if you wait for exactly the right moment when you watch the wind, you will never seed. Or if you're watching the weather, if you're watching for the clouds, exact right cloud position, you'll never reap. You don't know the way of the wind. Or how the bones grow in the womb of one who is with child. You just don't know. So you don't know the way of God, the works of God. So in the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, don't withhold your seed either. You never know which of the two will be more successful. The seed you plant in the morning or the seed you plant at night, or both. Light is sweet. It is it's pleasant to see the sun. If a person lives for many years, let him rejoice in them. But remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Rejoice, young man in your youth, and let your heart cheer in the days of your youth, and walk in the way of your heart, and follow your eyes. But no, God will hold you accountable for all these things. Remove sorrow from your heart, put away evil from your flesh, youth and dawn of life, right? Youth, yaldut, shacharut, dawn of life, our vanity. And then he goes straight into uzchor et borecha, b'yimei b'churatecha, and remember your creator in the days of your youth. I'll continue the rest of this parak in a minute, but you can see already just from the Vav that this is really one speech. Never understood the chapter divisions in Kohelet. We've talked about that in the past. We'll come back to what Parak Yibet is about. So what's going on here? So taking a jump back for a second in a bird's eye view of this parak, one of the characteristics of the Yirei Elokim, and it was actually a characteristic that he was accused of by one of the other voices, was the lack of knowledge, lack of certainty. Every other one of our characters, the Amel, the Nanatan, the Chacham for sure, was a position of absolute certainty, even to the point of arrogance. I know what I need to do. I know who I am, what I am, what the world is, and here's what I'm going to do to either fix the world, accept the world, change the world, ignore the world, right? That's the position of each one of them. And the Chacham said it most directly back in, I'm going to jump back to here just for the sake of it. Here's Imperik, Chet Pasuk Zion, which was the rebuke of the Chacham. Sorry, Perek Tet. I'm sorry. My apologies. Perek Tet. Pasuk. Actually, not the Chacham, the Nenatan. It's Pasuk Yud Tet. The Nenatan, is it? It's a Yud. Yud Dalet. No, where is it? That's not either. Did I mark it wrong? mark it wrong. My apologies for that. That happens from time to time. Okay. My apologies. I had a reference that I wanted to use, but I marked it in the wrong parak. But nonetheless, there was I think it was the Chacham who had made the reference to about the Yirei Elokim, that a sachal yarbed dvarim, that the sachal, the fool, says many things, such as lo yeda ha'adam mashiyeh v'ashe yeh me'acharav miyagidlo. Who knows what will be? Man doesn't know what will come. What will be after him, man can never know. Right? There was this notion that the Chacham had articulated that the Sachal, in this case, who was the fool, was somebody who didn't understand the world around him. It's in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Dalet. The Sachal Yarbed Dvarim, the fool, says many words. And he says things like "Lo yeda ha'adam mashiyev asher yem me'acharav miyagidlo," and that's a direct quote from the Yirei Elokim. Man doesn't know what will be and what will be after him. Who can tell him? In other words, the characteristic of the Yirei Elokim is that the Yirei Elokim is ignorant. He doesn't know what the world is. He doesn't know what will be. He can't read the future. He doesn't know what the right. Whereas the Chacham, he is the wise man. He can tell from experience. He knows what to do. He knows exactly how to run the world. That was in this context of the Chacham, who said that everybody else here, the Amel, is building without a design and an architect because he doesn't have the Chacham to run the show. And the fool of the Yirei Elokim, he doesn't understand anything. Comes along the Yirei Elokim and he says in this passage. Says the key phrase in this whole text of Perek Yud Aleph is everything that we don't know. And the defining characteristic of the Yirei Elokim is that in this world, there's more we don't know than we do know. And so he says it four times. Oh, I actually threw this into the Allah Torah word lab. I've shown you this to you before, just to show how many times the phrase appears. Lo teida in chayodea, lo teida in chayodea. What you don't know outweighs everything else. You don't know when the weather will strike and calamity will befall the world. You don't know what the clouds will bring or what the rains will bring. You don't know what the winds will bring. You don't know whether you plant a seed at night, whether it's going to take fruit as a bones in the womb of a woman. You don't know when you plant your seeds in the field, whether they're going to grow. You don't know God's actions and God's deeds and what's going to happen in the world. In Chayodeh. And that's the defining characteristic. But in the context of the Yirei Elokim, he's not saying it as an expression of weakness. He's saying it as an expression of strength. Meaning, because we don't know, if we acted, if we did everything based just solely on our knowledge and our conviction, what we absolutely were sure of, the world would never progress. There would be never no experiments. There would be no trust. There would be no element of hope and of expectation if we only operated based on what we do know for sure. And so he says in this passage, and he's talking both to the Chacham and to the Amel, and we'll see he'll talk to the Natan in a minute too, but to the Amel and the Chacham especially, who both claimed that they wanted to run the world, change the world, develop the world, control the world, and they both operated under the assumption that there's a that which we know, we operate, that which we don't know, we ignore, comes along the Yirei Elokim, and he says to, let's start with the Amel for a moment, because that's the easiest to understand. And he says to the Amel, Shlach lach mechal pnei amayim. Cast your bread upon the waters. Meaning, the expression, the idiom has become very common in modern Hebrew. Actually, it's a Yiddishism that if you want to, you don't know what's going to be, but you try it anyway. You never know what will bear fruit. You use the expression shlach lach mocha. You never know. Cast your bread upon the waters, because an investment, you were successful investment. You try to understand the best you can, but at the end of the day, you invest your money. You don't know what's going to be. You don't know when the stock market's going to go up, when the stock market's going to go down. Eventually it'll bear fruit and you'll find it. Ten chelik l'shiva v'gam l'shmona. Plant your seed. Put aside of whatever you have. Take a portion. Put aside it for the future. At the 7 and 8, there's a whole medrash about what the 7 and 8 are. The medrash says that it could be the 7 days of creation, it could be the 8 days of Mila, 7 days of Pesach, 8 days of Sukkot, but that on the level of drash. But in the pshat of it, he's simply saying, put aside a portion for the future. Whether 7 and 8 refers to Shemitah and Yovel, whether 7 and 8 refers to just some kind of like biblical expression. Put aside a portion for the future. Why? You never know what's going to be in the world. Clouds fill with rain, they empty themselves on the earth. We actually looked at these verses once before because we looked at them in the context of the introductory model of the four cycles of nature. And the notion that cycles of nature, the wind, the earth, the sun, they take us back to our starting point. So one of them was the wind, right? The wind just goes round and round. So holecha ruach. And what he says over, he says essentially in this chapter, he takes all of those elements of nature that were part of that initial introduction that talked about the endless futile cycles of nature. And he says, they're not so futile. They serve a purpose. The wind goes round and round. That's true. But in so doing, it takes the seed from one place and plants it another and takes the trees that fall here and carries the seed to there. And suddenly you have a world full of trees. That is part of the nature of the world. And so what you think is an endless cycle because you don't see what it accomplishes, you're right. There's lots of things we don't see and we don't know, but we do them anyway. Shomer ruach lo yizra. If you watch the wind, you will never seed, you will never plant. If you wait for the exact moment when the weather patterns are perfect for the right season, without and guarantee that it's going to survive the entire season of planting, you'll never plant. And if you want to watch the clouds, you'll never reap. Because at the end of the day, you have to have a certain element of trust in order to be able to succeed in the world. Whether you're investing, whether you're planting, whether it's agriculture, whether it's business, whether it's commerce, whatever the Amel is doing, there's an element of that which he doesn't know. You cannot ever be 100% certain of the world around us. And so we operate with a certain level of trust in this world. It's called emuna. Guess what? If you operate with emuna, in the world of finances, in the world of planting, in the world of, because you don't know all that's going to be, then that's the first step to operating in the world of emuna, in the world of Yirat Elokim, in the world of fearing God. There's a notion, there's a power for this phrase, Shomer Ruach Lo Yizra, fascinating idea that appears in the Gemara in Shabbos that talks about the six orders of the Mishnah. It's unrelated to this discussion. I just want to pull one line out of it. But there's a Mishnah, there's a Gemara in Shabbos that identifies the six orders of the Mishnah, the Oral Torah. And in identifying the six orders of the Mishnah, the verse that is used as a kind of mnemonic, it's a pure mnemonic, is Vayam unati techa chosen yeshuot chochmat vadat yirat Hashem hi otsaro. It's the end of that pasuk. And says Rish Lakish, these are the six orders of the Mishnah. Itecha refers to Moed, Chosen refers to strength, refers to women, Nashim, all the laws of marriage. Yeshuot refers to Nezikin, Chochma refers to Kachim. The first one is Emunat. And Emunat, says the Mishnah, says Rish Lakish, Zesed Zraim. That refers to the first order of the Mishnah, which is all the laws of planting and seeding. Because you have to have an element of Emunah before you can plant. Otherwise, you'll never plant. You'll just wait for the seasons and the weather patterns, which are not in your control. And there's so much that's not in your control, you'll never get anywhere. And so you understand that there's the more that we don't know, then we do know. And that's true in the domain of building civilization and society as well. Kasherin chayodea matera charuach, katsamim bibetan amleya. Kacha lo tedat maseh alakim mashiach set akol. You don't know the way of the wind or how bones enter into the womb of one who is with child. Meaning, you plant your seed in the morning in the ground, and you plant your seed in the evening in terms of creating life and the next generation, procreation. And you hope, and you don't know what's going to succeed. Do both. You plant your seed in the morning, you plant your seed in the evening. You don't know which will be successful, which will prosper, or whether they'll both be prosperous and both be successful. And so you do, this world would never survive if we didn't operate with the sense of trust in the fact that we don't know everything. And that's precisely what the argument of the Yirei Elokim was to the Amal, or the Amel, all the way from the beginning. And the Amel talked about Amelut, toil, effort, completion, have to see the result of the work. And back in Perek Hey already, the Kohelet, the Yirei Elokim, said to him, you know what? Mitukashnat ha'oved. It's not about toil, it's about work, it's about service, it's about doing what you can and seeing that partnership with God. Gavor mi'al gavor shomer. Ugvim aleim. He talked about that in chapter 5. And so he transforms the notion of toil into the notion of avodah. Avodah means you do what you can and you sleep well at night because you hope. You plant and you hope and you reap and you harvest and you hope. And you live with that sense of emunah that and hope that it will all work out for the best. And sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, that's when you put aside a portion for the rainy day. And so he turns to the Amel and he says, I'm not negating what you're saying. I'm accepting the Amel. And one of the things we're going to talk about next week is the fact that the Yirei Elokim is the one personality who incorporates all the others and says, I embrace you. I accept that there's a value to all of your toil and effort, but not unless you imbue it, you embed within it, or infuse into it a sense of humility to recognize that you don't know everything. And therefore, you operate with a sense of trust and emunah in the world that will, that world that is. Okay, let's move forward. This one is a direct reference to whom? This is a shift. We're now into the world of the Yirei Elokim speaking to, not the Amel, but to the Chacham. Correct. Because the Chacham is all about light, sun, right, the cycle of the sun was the cycle of the Chacham. Light is light of wisdom. Matoka or v'tov le'naim lot tashemesh. Sweet light is good, pleasant for the eyes to see. Gim shenim herbeichia adam b'kulam yismach. That may be a reference to the Nehnatan. Could be a continuation discussion of the Chacham. I'll leave it for a second. We're going to get to the Nehnatan. But we use koret yimei achoshech ki harbei yiyu kol shebahava. Remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Meaning there's a purpose for wisdom. There's a purpose for the Chacham. The Chacham is very important. The wisdom of light, the beauty of light, the pleasantness of light. You see the world, you understand the world, you embrace the world of science. We talked about the Chacham as the world, as the scientist, right? The world of science, the world of experiment, the world of understanding. All that's very good. It's also important because Yizkor et Yimei HaChoshech, the world also includes days of darkness. And it's the Chacham who understands that more than any other. And so it's important that he kind of incorporate that and understand that there's, right, that's the emunah, that's the trust, that's the understanding that we're talking about. And so he says to the Chacham, come along this journey. And then he turns his attention to the Nehnatan. And this focus on the Nehnatan, who was the most confrontational to the world of the Yirei Elokim, is where this piece ends, where he says, Kim sheni rabbi yechia adam b'kulam yismach, person should rejoice in life in the short time that he has. Smach b'chur b'yaldutecha, rejoice, O young one, in your youth. V'tivcha libcha b'mei b'chorotecha, let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, v'alech b'tarchei libecho b'marei necha, and walk in the ways of your heart and follow your eyes. That's okay, to an extent. That's okay. Even though we say in Kriyat Shema, don't follow your heart and your eyes. But there's a certain point at which he's saying, okay, to the Nenatan, you're allowed to enjoy life. I'm not suggesting that you aren't allowed to enjoy life. All I am suggesting is that the measure by which you determine the limits of that joy and the context of that joy is the only thing we know in this chapter for absolute certainty. There's so much we don't know. We don't know the weather patterns. We don't know the rain. We don't know the lifespan of a person. We don't know what accomplish in this, what's going to be in this world. There's so much we don't know. We don't know who's going to be rewarded for their righteousness and who's going to be punished for their wickedness in the context of the conversation with the Chacham back in chapter 8. We don't know whether a person is going to live a long life or a short life. We'll see that in a moment. One thing we know for sure. Vida. Five times he says in this chapter things we don't know. In Chayodea, Loteda, Loteda, in Chayodea. One thing he says with absolute certainty. Vida. Know this. Ki al kol eile yivyacha lokim b'mishpat. God will hold you accountable. There will be a mishpat for everything we do and for every decision we make. So enjoy it, yes, but enjoy it with limitations, enjoy it with understanding, enjoy it with the context of saying, okay, this I can enjoy and this I can't. This is permissible, this is not permissible. That's what Emunah is all about. That's what Yirat HaElokim is all about. Embrace the wisdom, embrace life, embrace science, embrace the world around us, embrace building and creating and doing and planting and harvesting and accomplishing. For sure. And enjoy the world. Smach b'chor b'yaldutecha. And take the world of the Chacham and the world of the Amel and the world of the Netan, bring it all together and say, that's all good, provided it's within measure. Because at the end of the day, to every decision you take, da, ki al kol eila yivyecha alokim b'mishpat. Now, that can be seen as a threat, right? There's a judgment, that's a threat. But it's also in the world of the Yirei Elokim much more as a sense of hope and anticipation and sense of purpose. Because if I live my life from my youth with that sense that I am going to have accountability, and therefore I know that everything I choose to do is within the context of that mishpat, then I am confident that when I reach that mishpat, I will do so in a positive sense. B'dak yakol eli b'yichalokim b'mishpat. V'aser kas milibecha, and therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and anger from your heart. V'ra'a mibsarecha. Youth is vanity because we waste it. We don't realize we're not taking into account this sense of accountability when we are youth. Youth is impetuous and free and not caring because they don't sense the sense of mortality. There's nothing more than powerful than the sense of mortality to bring a person a kind of a balance to their lives. And that's often lost on youth. But, says Kohelet, I have a solution for you. To you, the youth, smach b'chor b'yaldutecha, you want to understand what this mishpat is about? Remember the Nenatan, when anybody else ignored death. Why did he ignore it? Because it wasn't relevant. He can't see it. And so he says, I'm going to live life. I'm going to ignore death. I'm going to live life. I'm going to live as if it, what's the expression? Eat and drink because tomorrow we die. The world of the Nenatan was the world in which he said that for now there's nothing more than to just enjoy the world. Says the Yirei Elokim to the Nenatan, Smach b'chor b'yaldutecha, rejoice, but know that there is mishpat. And this mishpat comes at the end of the world, at the end of life. And if you want to understand it, if you want to see it, come with me on a journey. And I'll take you to somewhere where you can understand what that means. Zechor et bo'echa b'yemei b'churatecha. Remember your Creator even in the days of your youth, even when you're young. Live by that sense of awareness that there is a mishpat, there is a Creator, and there was a sense of anticipation of this mishpat. And if you want to see it, here's the journey. Ad asher lo yavo yemei hara'ah. Because you need to see it now before those evil days come upon you and they draw near. And what transpires in the next handful of chapters, a very difficult read, but it's one of the most dramatic, poetic, powerful descriptions of the process of aging and dying in all of Tanakh. Because he says to him, I'll take you on a journey. Walk with me. Walk with me through a geriatric ward of a hospital. Walk with me through a nursing home. Walk with me through where you can see what happens as people age to the point where they're almost at the point of death. And then you understand that this life is mortal. And you reach the days of life in which a person says, I've lost my desire, I've lost my pleasure. Before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars all darken. And the clouds return after the rain. We're going to see the rest of these verses in a second. I just want to start from here. The Gemara in Shabbos has a lengthy explanation of each one of these phrases. And he basically, Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kufin and Aleph. And while I'm going to interpret them a little differently than the Gemara does, but essentially the notion is each one of these is a metaphor for some aspect of life that is waning, that is drawing to a close. And so in these days of Yemei Ra'ah, years which a person says, I have no pleasure or desire in them, the sun and the light and the moon and the stars dim. Now in the language of Kohelet, that could mean, again, the dimming of one's mental capacity, because Shemesh and Or are metaphors for wisdom. But it could also be a reference to the eyes. Because in that process of, you're going to see, it's a metaphor for the human being, for the body, right? The eyes begin to dim. And Shavu He'avim Achar Hagashem, and the clouds return after the rain. The rain, referring to the Gemara, says to tears. And the Avim, the clouds that return to the eyes, could be referring to sort of the dimming of the eyes or cataracts. Bayom Shiazu Shomle Abayit, in a day when the guardians of the house begin to tremble, referring to the hands begin to shake. And the strong men begin to bow themselves, meaning become crooked, referring to one's feet, one's spine. And the grinders cease, for they are few, referring to teeth. And the lookers of the, through the windows become dark, again referring to the dimming of our eyesight. V'sugrut l'tayim bashuk, the doors in the street are shut. B'shval kol tachana, because the sounding of the grind of the mill has become dimmed, is low, right? Referring to again the ability, the lips and the teeth and the diminishing of the ability to eat and to chew. One shall rise up at the voice of a bird, the idea of being frightened, the daughters of music shall be brought low, the limit of hearing, the ability to hear, the ability to discern. Be afraid of heights, right? At a certain point in time, we'll become afraid of even walking because of the possibility of falling. And terrors along the way. Now, this is a little bit more complex, unclear where he's going with this phrase, but nonetheless, v'yene'etz shaked, the almond tree shall stop to blossom, v'yistabel chagav, and the grasshopper becomes a burden, v'tafera evyona, and desire shall fail, could be a reference to the diminishing of sexuality, ki holech adam el beit olamo. Because all of this is happening because a man goes to his everlasting home. V'savavu bashuka softi. And now, even as they're dying, the mourners are in the streets. And they are beginning to gather to express their mourning for the person. And the body is decayed. And the body is now in the grave. Ad asher lo yaratek chevel hakesef v'terutz gulat hazahav, before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, v'tishaver kada lamabua, and the pitcher is broken at the spring, v'narotz hagalgal alabor, and the wheel is broken at the cistern. I'll come back to that verse in a second. V'yashov ha'afar ala aretz kishaya. And now the dust returns to the earth as it was, via ruach, tashuv el olim asher netana. But the spirit returns to God who gave it. And that's the moment it comes back to its creator, it comes back to its maker, and it stands before God in judgment. And how I come back to what I said at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, which is, v'da ki al kol eile yivyecha elokim v'mishpat. You come back to meet your maker. That's the whole point. Now in your youth, if you claim that death was irrelevant to you, you couldn't see it. Right? That was the claim of the Nanatan. Who can bring one to see that which will come after him? Says the Yerei Elokim, come with me on a journey. I'll take you through a nursing home. Will you see it? Where you can see people literally, the description here essentially describes the process as a step-by-step journey from life to near death to death to, and that's that verse, Pasuk Vav, very important verse for us in a second, I'll explain why, the notion of the decomposition of the body in the grave. After the Sufdim are in the marketplace, after the Hespedim, after the death has occurred, now there is the breaking of the silver cord and the golden bowl is broken and the pitcher is broken. This is a description of the what we refer to in Hebrew as Chibut HaKever, where the grave is, where the body is breaking down in the grave so that the dust can return to the earth as it was in order to enable the spirit to return to God who gave it. So that this process of old age is just it's a way step. It's a step along the way. It's essentially a way of, you'll forgive the expression, a way of looking death in the eyes in this world. The Nenatan who refused to see death, who refused to acknowledge it exists, says the Yerei Elokim, you can't ignore it because it's right there in front of you. And therefore, in your youth, recognize that we are here for a very limited amount of time. And therefore, everything you do has to be measured, has to be chosen carefully. You want to rejoice, enjoy. You want to enjoy, enjoy. But da, ki al kol eile v'yecha elokim b'mishpat, there will be an accountability for everything you do and for every decision you make. And if you can understand that in your youth, b'mei b'churatecha, you're 10 steps out of the game. And so the Qohelet says, you, young man, Zuchorat Bar'echa, Bimei Bechoratecha, you want to see you want to remember your creator in the days of your youth, you want to understand it, you want to see it, you say you can't see death because it's not relevant to you, come with me on this journey. I'll show you death looking in the eyes. And then tell me it's not relevant. And now you look mortality in the eyes. Now you understand that you have to live your life differently from the very beginning. When we're 15 years old, we think we can live forever. But it's not that way. Somebody raised their hand. Brian, is that you?
Yes. So I can see the Yirei Elohim talking to the Neadatan and the Amal in this speech? Is he also talking to the Chacham?
He's talking to the Chacham less so here, but he's talking to the Chacham in generic terms. He said in the previous, in the end of the previous parak, Matoka or Betova in Anglawata Tashemesh, Gim Shanim Harbe Yichyeh Adam Bekulam Yismach, Vizkor et Yemei Achoshech, Ki Harbe Yu Kol Shebahava. Light is good, wisdom is good, understanding is good, science is good, it's all very good. But if you live life with the sense that you only embrace that which you can see, experiment, measure, you're going to miss a key piece of the element of the story, because at the end of the day, there will come days of darkness and it'll all disappear. And so he says to the Chacham, take your chokhmah, take your wisdom, and incorporate it into an understanding that we're here for a finite period of time. So I think he does speak to all three. If you look at chapter 11 and 12 as one unit, I think he's transitioning more to the Neadatan, but he's certainly speaking to all three. There is this reference to, I'm just going to throw in an aside, a kind of an open parenthesis for a second, because this is a very, very powerful verse. This verse in describing the process of old age, he has the reference to after the mourners in the streets, before we get to the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it, we have this Pasuk Vav, which describes, the best way to describe it is the decomposition of the body in the grave. So after the mourners are in the streets, before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, and the whether it be the skeleton or the breakdown of the body, right? This is all a description, a very graphic description of the dust returning to the earth as it was. But because it's linked to the Ruach Teshuva Lima Shina Tanat, to the spirit who returns to God who gave it, this forms the foundation of the idea that there is a correlation, a connection between the return of the dust to the earth and the return of the spirit to God. It's one of the reasons why there's such an incredible amount of emphasis in Jewish thought, in halacha, and even in Tanakh, to the value, to the importance of being physically buried, and that the worst curse that the Nevi'im offered, the worst curse that the Nevi'im leveled at the worst of the kings, was that they would die without burial. I'll show you, for example, by Yeravam ben Nevat, who was really the idolatry and all of the terrible things that the Nevi'im threw at Yeravam. And in Malachim Aleph, the Navi says to him, "Hamet li Yeravam ba'ir yochlu aklavim, ba'met basadeh yochlu afashamay." The dog shall eat the bones of and the carcass of Yeravam, and then he won't be buried. Or similarly to Izevel, you have a reference here that Izevel yochlu aklavim bechelik Israel ve'en kover. The notion that there will not be a place to bury somebody isn't just about coming to a place where you can mark the grave and show respect and for generations, etc. But there's a much deeper spiritual connection to the notion of the release of the soul to God and the decomposition of the body in the grave, and the notion that those two processes somehow, in a way we don't understand, are interconnected. That's why we say Kaddish for 12 months, because that process takes 12 months. That's why in Israel they don't bury, or 11 months. That's why in Israel they don't bury in coffins. They bury directly in the ground. The faster we can enhance that process, the better it is for the soul. So just as that's a pure parenthetical observation, it comes from this verse as well. So where does that leave us? I come back to my observation, what I said before about the basic message of the Yirei Elohim. Basic message of the Yirei Elohim is he doesn't, unlike the Chacham, the Neadatan, and the Amel, who negated each other, who challenged each other, who says, if I'm in charge, you can't be in charge. Comes along the Chacham and he says, you know what? There's so much we don't know in this world. In Chayodea, lo tida ma yira al aretz. In Chayodea ma derech haruach. Lo tida ma se alakim. Lo tida. Right? There's so much we don't know in this world. We think we have the arrogance of thinking that we're in control. But we all know that we're not in control. and that there's circumstances of life that we can't stop. And we can't stop the process of, you know, it's like, you know, to go from one extreme to the other, it's like childbirth. Once labor starts, right, you go, oh, you know what, it's not convenient, I want to stop it, I'll start it tomorrow. Right? It's not going to happen. The body takes over. Nature takes over. There are things we are not in our control. And at the other end of the spectrum, says Kohelet, we want to understand death. Come with me and I'll show you death. Look at death in the eye. And now tell me that it's not relevant and that you're going to ignore it and that you're going to live your life as if it doesn't exist. And so his conclusion to all of the elements, to all of the personalities of Kohelet, to the Amel, plant your seed. Build your houses, build your economy, build your effort, build your world. That's great. Put aside a portion for the future because you don't know what's coming. And if you don't know what's coming, it means that you're not all-knowing. Only God is all-knowing. So learn to live this element of the Amel. Learn to live with humility. And that humility translates into emuna, trust and belief and faith, and you're at the Lakim. And similarly to the Chacham, you don't know at all. You're not in control. So instead of bemoaning the fact that you're not in control, instead of bemoaning the fact that you know everything and nobody's listening to you, take your knowledge, put it into the advancements of civilization, but then recognize the humility to know that you don't know everything. The only thing we know for certain is that we end up in this world for a finite period of time, and then we return to God. And the Nanatan, who wants to eat and enjoy life, for sure, go for it. Smach b'chor b'yaldotecha. Rejoice. I'm not telling no. I'm not telling you not to. But make sure that whatever you do, you understand that you are measured and that you recognize and that's the summary, that's the takeaway of Kohelet. There's nothing more dramatic. This is the most important dramatic part of the Sefer, where he comes and he says, this is the one piece of it that's absolutely fixed. We're in this world for a finite period of time. And then we come and we stand before God. When you're young, remember your Creator. And if you need help doing that, I'll show you how to get there. Go into a geriatric ward of a hospital. Go into a nursing home. Go look at people who are waiting for death to come. And recognize that therefore our entire lives are limited and finite. We talked about, I'm going to stop sharing for a second. We talked about at the very beginning of Kohelet, of our journey in this study of Kohelet, we talked about the fact that he's haunted, Shlomo's, the author of Kohelet, let's assume we're assumed all along, we're talking about Shlomo Melech, but he's haunted by the sense of mortality. What's it all about? What is life worth if I'm going to end up in the grave? If you remember back in Perek Gimel, he talked to Chacham, he says, V'lamach ani chacham di ani az yoter. So why did I become wiser than anybody else? If in the grave, the skull of Einstein looks exactly the same as the skull of the fool, right? So what did it accomplish? So the answer is, you're here, mil chatkil, from the very outset, you're here for a limited amount of time. So you do whatever you can, you amass as much wisdom as you can, much accomplishment as you can in the world of the Avodah and the Amel, and you enjoy the journey as best you can, but understand that it's limited from the outset. But the soul is eternal. The soul is eternal. And so what's finite is the physical world we live in, the spiritual world, the world of Emunah, the world of the Yirei Elokim, the world of the soul, the world of the spirit, the Ruach. That's eternal. That's immortal. That goes back to God. And that's the message of Kohelet. It's fascinating because it's so different from the rest of the world of Tanakh, but it's so critically important. And I'll show you something at the very end of the Sefer. He makes the, almost finished, but he makes the, you know, there's this conclusion postscript to the book. We want to understand the conclusion of the sefer. This is already, Pram Pasuk Yud is already the same way we had an introduction to Kohelet that was in third person, right? Divrei Kohelet. Now from Pasuk Yud, we have a conclusion of Kohelet, also written in third person, right? The book itself, the authorship of the book, ends at Pasuk Tet. Sorry, ends in Pasuk Zayin. V'yashov v'afar al aretz kishaya, v'aruach tashuv v'lelim asher netana. That's the last thing, the last sentence of the core of the book of Kohelet. From Pasuk Chet, we're now in a review summary of the text. What's the takeaway of it all? So here's the takeaway. He starts with Havel Avalim Amara Kohelet, Akol Havel, way back in chapter 1. Remember, everything was vanity because he looked at the world and he said that what's it all worth if this cycle? I start in the grave, which is the womb, and I end in the grave, which is the womb. Along the way, something happens. Along the way, there's amelut, there's effort in building, and there's chachma that we acquire, and there is enjoyment that we have. Says Kohelet, that's all good, valuable. Suddenly it takes on meaning. Suddenly it takes on purpose. But it takes some purpose and meaning because Haruach Tashuv Elohim Hashem Netana, because the Spirit, the God, returns to God. Now it's third person. Now the editor of the book is talking, and he says Kohelet was wise, and he acknowledged, and he taught people, and he pondered, and he set many proverbs in place. He sought to find words that were desirable, and he wrote words which were upright and words of truth. And words that are wise, divrei chachamot, chachamim kedarvanot, masmarot netuim ba'alei asupot, like nails fastened, or words in the master, nitnim mura'e achad, all given from one shepherd, yoter me'em ebni zeher, furthermore, my son, be careful, admonished, asot zrim harbe, in gates, making many books, because there is no end, v'lag, harbe, yigyat basar, much study. There's so much nonsense out there in the world. And so, Kohelet says, Sof davar hakol nishma. After all the works and all the books and all the philosophies and all the things are written and all the arguments are heard and all the opinions articulated, here's his conclusion. Now, half of this conclusion we all know, because when we read Kohelet and Shul, we repeat this sentence. Et olekim yirao mitzvotav shmor kizek kol adam. Fear God, keep his commandments, that's the whole duty of man. That sentence we repeat in Shul. So everybody knows that sentence, right? What's the conclusion of Kohelet? Fear God, keep his commandments. I don't think so. I don't think that's his conclusion. His conclusion is that's the means to achieve the end. The end is Pasuk Yudalet. Ki et kol ma'aseh. Now, careful how we read this. Ki et kol ma'aseh, or ma'aseh, ha'elokim yavi b'mishpat. Because for everything we do, God will bring into judgment. Akum ne'elam, nothing is hidden. Im tov v'im ra, good or evil, we are held accountable for every deed. The reason why I say careful that we read it is because we have a tendency to read this as ki et kol maaseh ha'elokim yavi b'mishpat. But that's not the trap, that's not the grammar, that's not the structure. And Rashi makes this observation on the spot. The extra accent mark here and the zakev katon here tells me there's a comma here. Ki et kol maaseh, all man's deeds, elokim yavi b'mishpat. God will hold accountable in judgment. That's the conclusion of Kohelet. It's not just about fear God, keep his commandments. Great, fear God, keep his commandments. I could have said that 26 weeks ago and we would have had a lot less fun along the way. The point of Kohelet is to recognize to the Chacham, actually now I can stop sharing, is to recognize to the Chacham, to the Amel, to the Nanatan, to all the personalities that exist in the world, And they basically are archetypal personalities of pretty much everybody that exists. The scientist and the free spirit, youth and the builder and the businessman and the accomplished, to every personality in the world. Kohelet Yirei Elokim turns and says, I embrace you all with one proviso. Learn to live a life of moderation recognizes that every decision we make has consequences. Both consequences here and consequences for us spiritually when the soul returns to God who gave it. That's the takeaway of Qohelet. Ki et kol ha-maaseh, for every deed, every action, everything we do, yivyecha Elokim b'mishpat. Now go live life. Now go and live your life. Now go and embrace the world. Now go and plant your seed. Now go and build. Now go and enjoy. But with the understanding that we are accountable to God for every decision and for everything we do. And therefore, that will transform and inform what our lives look like and how we live them from point A to point Z or Z. And with that, we have concluded our study of the arguments and the positions of Qohelet. We started 26 weeks ago in chapter 1, and now we have reached chapter 12. Thank you for joining me in this journey. It's been fun. I hope you've enjoyed it. We have one more class together in this topic. Hopefully there'll be other classes. That's not up to me, but hopefully there will be. What I plan for next week is a kind of bird's eye view, right? The forest, that to look at all the opinions and all of the different personalities and the transitions that they go through and to kind of see the text as a whole. I think there's been so much detail that it's important to kind of step back and look at it in that context. With that, I will, in the few minutes we have remaining, open up to questions.
Rabbi, I would like to say thank you for this study. If there is a book in Tanakh that I am obsessed with, because I have read it, I can say more than 50 times, and trying to understand. Really, I just read it because I'm very obsessed with what he's saying. And because of this study, you have shown me, you've given me some light into it, that book, and I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Really a pleasure.
Hello, Rabbi Shulman. Can you hear me?
I can. Who is speaking?
Okay. I'm Lottie Dessa. I'm behind a phone.
Okay.
Is it possible that I don't have a computer or email? Is it possible to mail me a synopsis, what you intended to do at the end?
What, next week's?
Next week's.
I mean, it'll be recorded. I can send you whatever source pages I have. I do have like a document that I think I shared part of it with you once before, which is like a summary of each speech in English. I can certainly try to send you that. Can you, you don't have access to the chat, right?
No, I don't have a computer. I'll have to get my friend's email address.
What, do you have access to an email?
No, I don't. I don't personally.
So if you can.
You want my address? Just the last chapter of a synopsis of the what you intended to do.
Yeah. Okay. Can you? What's the best way to send it to you?
Okay. Name is L Lottie, L O T T I E. First name, last name D E S S A U.
D E S S A U.
Right. 160 Bennett Avenue. That's B as in boy, E N N E T T Avenue. Apartment 5D as a dog, and it's New York City, 140 New York.
What was the zip code?
140, 10040, New York.
Okay, I will do the best I can.
You're located in America or in Israel?
In St. Louis.
Okay, yep. So that's a normal...
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay, I appreciate it very much.
No problem. My pleasure. Yeah. Yes, Vivian.
Just the word
Ka'as mean anger or sorrow or both?
Ka'as?
Yes.
Depends how it's used, but it usually means anger, but it can mean sorrow.
Thank you.
Does color-coded summary have to be revised, or is it ready for printing?
That is here. Copy link. There's a couple of little. I'll continue to edit it slowly. There's a couple of mistakes in terms of color coding, and the translation. I'm not home so crazy about, but it is what it
you
is.
Better to wait till next week, right?
I'll be posted again next week, so it'll you'll have an update of it.
Thank
okay,
you very,
thank
very
you
much.
Very,
This
very
has been a
much.
wonderful series.
My pleasure.
Thank you. It's
Very
been
thought provoking.
Yes, Stuart, I see is. Oh no, that's just a. Thank you. Okay. Any other
thank
questions?
you.
All right. Well, enjoy. Have a wonderful day.
And I'm looking forward to your next classes and your next topic. Thank,
thank
you,
you
so much.
Appreciate that. My pleasure.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Rabbi.